This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. Your speaker and the author of this tape is Vin Lewis, founder and president of All Roads Ministry. This particular tape is entitled Psychology. This tape, along with another one entitled Evolution, has its origin in the casual remarks made to me and to a few other people present by Professor William Mara of Fordham University. He stated that he felt part of the reason for the failure of Catholic education and part of the reason for the terrible state of the cultural situation in America today was because of the heavy reliance and, shall we say, advocacy of both evolution and psychology. He stated that those who oppose either of these so-called disciplines are considered by many people to be the type of those who believe that the earth is still flat. This insight, I believe, was quite perceptive, and it induced me, therefore, to produce this tape and the other tape dealing with evolution in an attempt to inform the Catholic layperson, or perhaps even the Catholic clergy, of what evolution and psychology actually mean, their defects, their limited use as tools of analysis. In other words, we should not be captives to false systems. For, as Jesus said, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. This is an attempt to bring about your personal liberty. Psychology is one of those areas of behavioral science, which I believe is a contradiction in terms. Science being that field of study which can be reduced to numbers, repetition, objective experimentation, and testing of theory. By definition, behavior dealing with human beings is something beyond science before all of us have free will. So, therefore, I shall attempt a definition of psychology. There is an American humorist, I believe it was a gentleman named P.J. O'Rourke, who defined psychology, sociology, and anthropology, etc., as fields which liberals invented so that their students may go to college and not study anything of significance. I think that's a pretty good working definition of psychology, but let us give what the psychologist might feel. Psychology is the study of human decision-making, influences, attitudes, and values, with the goal of being able to correctly analyze human beings and provide therapy. In other words, psychology seems to bridge the gap, or attempts to bridge the gap, between the sincere and valid medical profession, in which a professional medical practitioner attempts to heal a person of an injury, and that area of perhaps philosophy, which is primarily an abstract analysis of human behavior, value systems, choices, selections, etc. I have stated, and will state again, that all human behavior can actually be reduced to economics, because it is always a selection between choices when you cannot make more than one, in the sense that you cannot do two things at one time, therefore you must set a priority. That is economics. That is psychology. The point is of the psychologists, and by the way, the word psychology, for your information, comes from two Greek words, ology, meaning study of, and psyche, meaning spirit or soul. Psychology is, in essence, an attempt to reduce to basic principles, laws, and general rules why people do things. And it is, of course, an utter failure. It is an utter failure because the main reason why people do things is that they are cooperating with grace or they are rejecting grace. In other words, they do what God has willed for man to do, which is virtue, or they violate what God has willed for man to do, which is vice or sin. Psychology is primarily, therefore, dealing with the areas of good and evil, morality and immorality. However, it refuses to use these terms, calling itself, in a certain sense, value-free. What this means is the pure psychologist must suspend his religious values before he begins to analyze and work and study in the field of psychology. The problem with this is that the Catholic psychologist, if there is such a thing, must never suspend his values. If the Catholic psychologist wishes to use psychology, the therapeutic part, that is to mean techniques, methods, treatments which will help a person solve a problem being defined either as a moral or medical problem. If a Catholic psychologist wishes to use certain, shall we say, psychological techniques which will aid a person in the pursuit of virtue and in the avoidance of vice, then in this sense, psychological techniques, psychological therapy can certainly be accepted, used, advocated, and understood by the Catholic. If, however, the psychologist is required to explain away problems such as incest, lust, avarice, sloth, gluttony, hatred, envy, in terms which do not involve the free will of man, which do not involve the fact that the grace of God may always help man to successfully overcome temptation, then the psychologist, in fact, is analyzing something the very nature of which he denies. The study of the soul is religion. If psychology wishes to take a subordinate role, first submitting and accepting to the value system of the church, then it can be used. I would like at this point to make an observational remark in pointing out how frustrated the psychologist is unless he bases his study, his approach, his therapy, etc., on Roman Catholic theology, which is to say, bases it on reality. There is a general rule among psychologists that there are two factors which influence the attitudes and the behaviors of a human being. One is hereditary, the other is environment. Hereditary means, basically, those inclinations or tendencies which one inherits from one's parents or ancestors. Environment means, in essence, the circumstances upon which or around which one is raised. In other words, hereditary explanations might mean that if one's father was a problem drinker, one would have inherited this tendency. An environmental concept would be that if one grows up in an abusive household, however one wishes to define those terms, one may very well be abusive when one establishes his own household. The problem with this is, of course, that it leaves out the concept of sin. The disordering of human beings, the reason why we all think there are problems to be solved in our moral, in our, quote, psychological, quote, unquote, areas, is because of sin. We all know what should be done, but we don't do it often enough. Examine the problem the psychologist faces if he tries to use either hereditary or environment without bringing in Roman Catholic theology. Example, if one were to argue that the hereditary inclinations of a person is what makes him a problem drinker, or makes him an abusive husband, or makes him an envious woman, makes her an envious woman, then what we have is the situation of this, that it is not the person with the problem who is at fault, but it is the parents. Well, of course, the problem there is that it wasn't the parents' fault either, according to psychological theory, because they also were victims of their hereditary, which means it was the grandparents' problems. But of course, it wasn't their problem, but the great-grandparents and the great-great-great-grandparents, etc., etc. Until we arrive at what? Adam and Eve, the first parents. In other words, the inherited tendency towards sin comes from every preceding generation. And if we simply follow this logically through, what we arrive at is the Roman Catholic theological position based in reality of original sin. Our original parents, the parents of all living human beings, caused us this problem. So therefore, the psychologist, by starting in the middle of things, by essentially trying to build floor number four in a house without looking at the foundation, does not really deal with the basic problem, which is that all human beings are defective. Now, of course, by the same token, if one argues that the tendency towards improper inclination is due to one's environment, then we must argue that the environment is created simply by one's parents or peers, who, of course, are nothing but victims of their environment, and their environment was created by the previous generation, which, of course, was influenced by the environment of the previous generation, which was influenced by the environment of the previous generation, going back to, once again, Adam and Eve. The point is that in psychological theory or psychological approaches, in trying to escape the reality of sin by essentially denying free will and trying to attribute to each the problems of each generation to the defects of the preceding generation, one logically must follow this all the way to the origin, which means, again, that the original parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. Now, this should be no revelation and no surprise to any practicing Catholic who certainly understands the nature and the results of original sin. But notice, psychology, in an attempt to invalidate or at least isolate Catholic theology, in fact validates Catholic theology. Of course, the problem with all of this is that it doesn't have the solution to original sin. What it does say, of course, is that with proper psychological teaching, the person can be strengthened to reject the tendency towards alcoholism, enviousness, fears of irrational things, which are called phobias, etc. Now, of course, what the psychologist is saying is that under certain treatment, the will of the human being can be strengthened so that he can respond correctly in this case being, as the therapist would define it, in such a way that he can overcome his problems. Notice again what has happened. We have approached it in a psychological sense, but we have wound up with Roman Catholic theory. What we say is that man, with a defect, can, through the aid of a fellow man, strengthen his will so that he may choose to do good and avoid evil. That is, in essence, the definition of the sacramental salvation system of the Roman Catholic Church. We receive forgiveness of our sins through men. We receive the body of Jesus through men. We receive confirmation through men. We receive marriage and forgiveness of our sins through men. We receive baptism through men. In other words, through the activity of certain men, we are given something, mainly grace, which strengthens our will so that we may now behave in acceptable fashion. Notice again, the basis of the psychological approach is in fact a disguised and slightly distorted form of Catholic theology. This may be one reason why psychological terms, psychological activities, and psychological therapy, etc., are so popular, because they parallel the reality which is written in all of our hearts by natural law, and which any intelligent person can see who simply observes the human condition. And those conditions are: man has a problem, there is a solution to the problem. Man should not despair, but seek the way to solve the problem so that he may live in charity with his brothers and do justice to one another. This is the goal of psychology. It is the goal of Catholic sacraments, and it is, of course, the explanation of the world according to Catholic theology. A second series of bits of information that you should understand about psychology is that, at least as we currently understand it, psychology started with the theories of Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud is somewhat criticized these days. However, I think by anyone's definition, he certainly was a man possessed with an excellent mind of great creative capacities. This does not mean to say that everything he wrote was good, nor was everything he wrote bad. I'm simply saying that those of you who have never read Sigmund Freud are missing something in the sense of at least understanding the creative aspects of this man. His reading is easy to understand. Freud's basic view of man was that the mind, the functioning rational activity of man, is divided into three parts, for which he used, interestingly enough, Latin to describe this. The first was the id. This is the lowest level, the ego, which is the middle level, and the superego, which is the highest level. Freud said, and this is a brief summation, but at least this way you'll know what these terms mean, is that the id is the passion, the emotional nature of man, the pleasure principle, if one wishes to put it that way. Of course, in Catholic theology, we would call it the flesh. The ego is the part of the human being which makes conscious decisions one way or the other. We would, of course, call that the will. The superego, according to Freud, is the restrictor of the ego, which has accepted the values of the culture or the society in which the human lives and tries to make the ego decide in favor of communal standards rather than in favor of the pleasure which the id cries out for. We, of course, would call the superego the conscience. Now, again, notice that we have a situation here, again reflecting Catholic theology, particularly in the writings of St. Paul. We have the spirit, which would be the superego, at war with the flesh, which is the id, and of course the will, the soul, which has the capability of choosing good or evil, must constantly choose between the flesh and the spirit, which are, as long as we are in a sinful state, at war with one another. Once again, this three-way division of the functioning, rational, emotional nature of man is highly accepted. It is these terms are very frequently used, sometimes in a derogatory fashion, but they are very good tools of analysis to understand, simply if one is going to talk with someone else about psychology. Once again, the id stands for pleasure, the flesh. The ego stands for the will, the conscious choice, and the superego stands for the conscience, or the collective values of a culture. Freud felt that very frequently, if not always, an unpleasant early event in childhood, which he called a trauma, would influence a person in such a way that would cause problems later in his life. Freud would define a trauma as anything which causes a severe shock to the id of a child. Simply having a toy taken away or being forbidden from doing a pleasurable activity could be, in Freud's definition, a traumatic event. According to Freud's theory, the traumatic event would be suppressed in the subconscious. By subconscious, he means that part of the mind which continues to function and influence every human being, but that part of the mind of which the human being is not aware. An analogy would be, of course, that sometimes people can develop cancer and not show symptoms nor feel pain, although certainly it would affect their ill health. They would go to a doctor, the doctor would x-ray them, and then find out what the problem was, and realize that the problem had been going on for quite a long time. It is also, of course, possible for a person to have two diseases where the symptoms of one will hide or disguise the other. This would be the best way to understand the concept of the traumatic events being suppressed into the subconscious. So therefore, Freud would hold that if a person were, so to speak, in a traumatic event with one's father or mother, one might suppress this into the subconscious, but it would come out later in resentment towards one's father and mother. Because the superego, the conscience of the community, says that one should be nice, proper, and honorable towards one's father and mother, one would feel guilt for not behaving so and would need to go through psychological analysis to find out what traumatic event one has suppressed. This bit of nonsense means that you would pay someone a large number of dollars per hour to sit there and ramble on while he would pretend he was paying attention. After 12 or 13 years of this, perhaps one could come to a conclusion of what the problem was. I would like to make two points here. I remember listening to a talk show in which a woman was accusing a famous psychiatrist of having molested her while he used some kind of drugs to put her into a state of stupor. You must draw a distinction here. A psychiatrist is a medical doctor who, at least in theory, is dealing with mental illnesses. A psychologist is not. He is on the fringes of quasi-medicine, but he is not a medical doctor. The point simply was this. This woman was, of course, on TV blabbing about how the psychiatrist had molested her. She mentioned that she had been in deep, significant, heavy therapy for about 14 years. And someone else called in and got angry at her for maligning psychiatrists. And when the host asked if the caller had also been in therapy, she said yes for 7 years. Which makes me find it rather interesting that these people are in such therapy, such good hands, such a good progress, that for over a decade, or close to a decade, they're still in the same treatment. I would point out that if you broke a leg and went to a doctor and he were treating you still 10 years later and the leg had not yet been set, you would be an idiot to continue with that doctor. I also point out to you that psychologists, or the defenders of psychology, often try to argue that you cannot heal a problem unless you know where it comes from, or you cannot know where you're going unless you know where you are. These, of course, are idiotic statements. Obviously, if you break a leg and go into a doctor's office and he spent the time trying to figure out if you broke the leg in an automobile accident, in a fall on a ski slope, or as the result of an attack by a stranger, you would not consider that doctor very good. He would treat if he were a good doctor, he would treat the leg and heal you. By the same token, if the crook and the policeman are brought in with similar bullet wounds, it doesn't matter which gun was used and which shooting was justified to the doctor, the treatment is exactly the same. This is somewhat analogous to the fashionable psychological trend in the late 80s called reality therapy, which simply said treat the problem and don't care where it comes from. Of course, the point is that psychology is as dependent on styles as women's fashion, and they change, I believe, pretty regularly, about every 5 years. The point I simply was trying to raise here is to give you some of the vocabulary, the traumatic event and the suppression. Another term that is frequently used in psychology, and if you try to defend the faith, you should be aware of it, is the concept of projection. In projection, this means that the person suffering or recognizing a fault in himself accuses others of it. Projection is one of the few things in psychology which I have found to be true. It is expressed in the folk wisdom of, we fear the most in others what we suspect as wrong the most in ourselves. It's an interesting point. I believe it's correct. As I said before, not everything Freud said was wrong. Another term which you should use, or at least understand or recognize if you hear it used in psychological terms, is a defense mechanism. A defense mechanism is a speech pattern or a series of statements or some kind of activity by which a person puts up a barrier to pretend that things are not as bad as they are, or to prevent another person from getting to, quote, the heart of the matter. In evangelistic efforts and in apologetic efforts, Catholics should recognize that defense mechanisms take place very, very frequently. There is nothing wrong with using the words subconscious, traumatic event, projection, id, ego, superego, defense mechanism. We live in a time in which, unfortunately, these words have become part of the 20th century and, I assume, 21st century English language. To use them, there is nothing whatsoever wrong if we understand them as terms of analysis, not as terms of reflection of reality. There is a problem in economics that the economics, or so-called economic theory of John Maynard Keynes, called Keynesianism, has influenced the teachings of economics. One can use his terminologies without understanding or accepting his theories, which are primarily idiotic. The same is true in psychology. That is why I gave you these terms, so you can understand them. And again, you may use them simply in the same sense that sometimes one has to use the language of the devil simply to identify it. And we certainly use the language of sin to identify sin. One of the major points I would like to make about the whole concept of psychology is that there is nothing really wrong with using psychology as an analytical tool, that is to find out what's wrong. It is true that we do put up defense mechanisms frequently. However, we must understand that psychology has no answers. It has no cures. It has no solutions whatsoever. Also, psychology may be used in a recreational fashion, in the sense of that I see nothing wrong with a person who does not wish to obtain honest profession and becoming a psychologist. After all, if a young woman doesn't want to get married immediately and wishes to go to college and doesn't know what else she wants to major in, she can always take psychology. At least that way, officially, her parents won't be ashamed of her. But one should understand that this is primarily a recreational matter, in the same sense that one learns to play the piano. One can read psychological theories, even write psychological books, as long as one understands that one is sort of writing fiction and nonsense and not getting to the basic truth. If psychology is used as a means to an end, then it is a good thing, or can be a good thing. If it is used as an end in itself, or as a short-circuiting mechanism to have someone look inside himself for the solution to his problems, when in fact he must look at the Church, the Blessed Sacrament, and the Blessed Mother as the solution to his problems. If psychology advocates that one can tell one's disorders to a psychologist as opposed to confess one's sins to a priest, if psychology argues that the solution to man's disorders is based on a traumatic event, rather than the solution to man's disorder is based on the events that occurred on Good Friday on the cross, then psychology is wrong. As sort of a summary statement, I was once asked my view about the 12-step program in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was told by many recovering alcoholics that the Alcoholics Anonymous definitely relies on a divine power, but it allows each person to visualize that the same way. And what I said was this: if the Catholic goes there and visualizes a triune God, second person of whom became man, was born of a virgin, died on a cross, and rose from the dead, and then this helps him stop drinking, then Alcoholics Anonymous has done him good. If, however, it makes him think of Buddha or Allah or some other demon masquerading as God, then Alcoholics Anonymous has done him no good, even if he remains sober for the rest of his life. Because, as Jesus said, or as I will paraphrase the words of Jesus, better to remain a drunk all your life, die of pneumonia in a gutter on a cold January day, than to be sober all your life and enter hell. I hope that this brief series of comments has somewhat dispelled some of the nonsense which deals with psychology. Again, it is not a solution. It is at best a tool of analysis to be able to help a person deal with the spiritual and moral problems which humans are prey to since the fall of Adam. I hope that this has given you some sense of what the terms are, a brief overview of how it started, and I hope, therefore, as a result, this tape has been of use to you and a blessing. You may obtain additional copies of this tape or any tape ARM produces by contacting us at ARM55 Palen, P-Paul, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hope Well Junction, New York, 12533. Again, this has been Vin Lewis thanking you for listening. God bless.